Let's welcome Pastor Nkechi.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. Pastor Foji, you did not put pressure on me. Not any more pressure than the sound of many waters, did you? Amen. I bring greetings from my husband, from the Carpenters Church, who I know they are online. Amen. And we're all here to bring the word of God. Can we lift our hands to Jesus and just acknowledge his beautiful presence right here in our midst? How awesome it is to have a God who is with us always, who hears us always, and who answers us always. He is with us always. Always. He hears us always. And he answers us always. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Discerning the sounds, we started that yesterday and we'll finish it today. Tomorrow we'll do something else. So this is discerning the sounds, part two. We started by talking about sound. We looked at sound, the physical definition. We looked at sound, the mental definition. And we said sound can also be used to describe the voice of God to his children. Remember that? Then we looked at 1 Corinthians 14, and that was our text, 6 to 11. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit to you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. The Lord is sending out sounds throughout this conference, and we are hearing them. Amen? And it's a sign of what he's doing in the body of Christ. At these times, God is speaking, church. God is speaking, but we must discern, recognize, and understand the things that he's saying. We said five things yesterday. We said every sound is distinct and different. We said the good God communicates life to us in four different ways, four main ways. We said God has an abundance of goodness to give us through his life-giving sounds. We said the good God's character has been assassinated. And religion has linked evil and thus death with him. We said there may be sounds going out, but there is a sound for you to hear. Have you begun to hear the sounds for you to hear in this conference? I believe everyone here has a sound assigned to them. So let's go to the sixth point, F. Write this down. An inability to discern the sounds causes a breakdown in communication between you and God. An inability to discern the sounds causes a breakdown in communication between you and God. Relationship is the basis for these life-giving sounds. God is not speaking into the air. God is not throwing sounds into the world. These sounds we're talking about are for his people. These sounds we're talking about are for the church of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to benefit from the word of God, you need to be a believer in this conference to fully benefit one of the things that needs to happen to you here is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Because these sounds, God is giving them to his church and to the body. So the reason why he's speaking to you is he wants to deepen the relationship he has with you. Amen? God doesn't just have a relationship with you. He wants to deepen it. So he's speaking and speaking and speaking. Communication is one way in which you can deepen any relationship. If there's a relationship and you're not speaking to each other, you're not going to deepen that relationship. So what happens if God wants to be intimate with you, but you're not discerning his words? You're not hearing. Go to verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 14 if you have the Message translation. But if I don't understand the language, it's not going to do me much good. So this goodness we're talking about, you're not going to get it. But that's not even all there is. It gets worse if you read it from a different translation. Let's go back to the NKJV from verse 11. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of a language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks. And he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. The King James says barbarian. ERV says it will just be strange sounds to me. And I will sound just as strange to them. The Phillips says, the sounds of the speaker's voice will mean nothing to me. I am a foreigner to him, and he is a foreigner to me. Is there a married couple here? Anybody close by? Yeah, married couple. Are you denying yourselves now? No, man, they're not looking. Your wife and husband. Identify yourself, stand up. Do you speak the same language? You're from the same place. Is there a language you speak? Okay, between you, do you speak two languages? Nah. I need two people. Okay, identify yourself, Coco. Is your husband there? Welcome them. You have to move fast. My time is going on. You know, this time is very important to me. So which language are we going to hear now? Igbo. He's correct. Owabia. There's no zoo here. Okay, good. So imagine they're both married. And the only thing she speaks is Igbo. And the only thing he speaks is Yoruba. Walawa. They are married though. Don't ask me how they got married. They are married. But the only thing he speaks is Yoruba. And the only thing she speaks is Igbo. They don't speak any other language. They're not in the house. Oh yeah, tell her you're hungry. Ebimpami. She doesn't understand. Ask him, what are you saying? Ogini kineku. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand though. He says, what is wrong with you, man? I'm hungry. Louder, louder. Then he said to him, why are you talking to me like that? I don't understand. Then he says, it's like this woman doesn't want to give me food. Like thing is flowing. Is there, I don't understand what you're saying. Is there a relationship? Is there a relationship?
Yes.
Is there communication?
No.
What is going to happen next? He's hungry.
Frustration.
He will vex at some point. I'm going to look for who will give him food. She will vex and say, what can I hear husband die marry? But was there any need for quarrel? Okay. Rewind. This is God. This is you. Sound is going out. It's targeted. He doesn't speak into the air. And he's saying to you, before you get married, you should not have sex. It doesn't matter if it's 2023. And you are hearing That's how some of you are hearing. And then you say, I beg, make me go do a job. Then God is watching you. And God is thinking, who are those people? Are they not my children? It's gibberish what they are saying. Or somebody is preaching, sending a sound saying, you can sow your last seed. You can give your everything. Give and it shall be given unto you. What you are hearing is, gibberish. What is going to happen after a while? Complete breakdown in communication. At some point, you're going to say, this thing doesn't work. Have you heard Christians say that? This faith thing doesn't work. An inability to discern the sounds of your father. It gets to a point where your father's words sound like gibberish to you, and worse still, you begin to sound like gibberish to him. When you speak words of doubt, when you speak words of unbelief, when you speak carnal words, it's like how she sounded to him. God, the only language she understands is faith. He doesn't understand any other language. So you go on your knees and you are praying, Lord, this problem. Hi, Chideke, this problem. He doesn't understand what you are saying. Are you passionate about what you are saying? Yes. Was he passionate about saying he was hungry? Was she passionate about explaining, I don't get what you are saying? How passionate you are doesn't mean anything. If the language is not understood, there can be no communication. Thank you. And it's all the passion, all the emotion, all the hype that has come like a wind through the church. And we're hyped, charged, emotional, but gibberish. Gibberish. God will be like to the angels. Wait, Chiligo, is that not in Kitchi? Is it not the one that Jesus, the third Jesus? Maybe your blood washed this one. I've been an impostor. Why is she sounding like that? No, Jesus will say, Lord, don't worry, bypass the way she's sounding. She really needs that child. No, I don't understand her. She's talking to me about ovarian cyst. Talking to me about fibroid. She's talking to me about endometriosis, I mean, all those things. You know, when you're a pastor, you become a small doctor. She's talking to me about all those things. She's not speaking my language. God will say, okay, Jesus said, no, don't worry for my sake. It is for your sake I'm saying this. Now your blood. Frustration. Frustration. Alternatives. At some point, go rub your belly. At some point, go drink this one. At some point, go and begin. Because you have been praying. But you've been praying gibberish. Turn to your neighbor and say, check your language. Is it God's language? If not, you are wasting your time. There's a relationship. When Jesus said in John 10, 3, he said he calls his own sheep. So when you read the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. The confidence behind that was he referred to his own sheep. Relationship. The expectation of God is not to sound like a barbarian to you. And the expectation of God is not for you to sound like a barbarian to him. Because you are his own sheep. His own wife. Her own husband. They should be able to communicate. And this is a side attraction for married couples. I've been married 30 years. At least that's more clouds to talk. If you want your marriage to work, start talking. Start talking. Don't start talking surface gist. Peter Obi versus Bola Tinubu. That one will not grow your marriage. After February 25th, matter has been settled. You understand? That one is side attraction. Don't make that the main gist. Talk about the real issues. Talk about the mother-in-law who is a witch. Talk about the fact that you are more educated than he is. And how is it doing him? Talk about the fact that you earn more money than he does. How is he handling it? Talk about his useless sister in the house who doesn't cook. Now those ones, they cause problem. Talk about it. If you don't communicate, your marriage will end up dying or plateauing. And you'll be like most of, sadly, the Church of Jesus Christ, just a managed marriage, they go. You're not meant to do that. If you don't understand each other and you don't communicate, there'll be a breakdown. Amen. Amen. So why are we having all these noises in the church being camouflaged as sounds from the Father? Noises. But they're not sounds, they're gibberish. Sometimes preachers are talking to you, they're not talking faith. But they have packaged it with emotion, packaged it with the right. You know Christianese. Anybody can sound Christianese. Though. I tell my people, if I want our church to run 25 services, give me 3 months. I know what to do. I know what banners to put out. I know what to do. But will it be God's language? As I'm doing it, God is packing and going. So there's a lot of noise. And sometimes it's embarrassing when you see ministers you expect to stand as umpires for the church being carried away by such noise. God doesn't listen to noise, no matter how loud it is. No matter how popular it is. He doesn't listen to noise. No matter what signs come out of that noise. That's why I told you yesterday, the sound of miracles is not a primary sound from God to the church. Don't talk to me about sounds. Don't tell me what you saw happen in that meeting. Tell me what he said. Was it faith? Was it doctrine? Was it apocalypsis? If he was not, I don't care about the sounds. Even Satan, about the miracles. Even Satan produces miracles. You didn't know? It's noise. Noise. Why? Because the church has not taught enough how to discern sounds. Don't play with meetings like WAFBEC. I know you don't. That's why you're here in the afternoon. The church has not taught enough about how to hear the voice of God. The church has not invested time enough. How can you be following somebody and you don't know the person's voice? How can you be following someone you don't know who they are? And the churches that have actually taught, that spent time to teach, there are some who will be inside those churches and refuse to learn. That is when it is doubly annoying. There's something my pastor used to say. Somebody will behave somehow. He will tap me and say, "Now you born that one." I said, "No, be me." I was in "Now you're picking." I said, "No, be me, banner." I said, "Are you born?" I said, "No, be me." We start again. I go, "We'll be watching that." I said, "I'm not born that one." Because the behavior is strange. How a lion go born snake? It's not meant to be. Are you hearing me? I don't be yes, I'll be Emma. I'm a man of God with breasts. I'm a man of God, but I have breasts. Amen. Glory be to God. G, write this down. I'm giving you F. Both the source of the sound and the receiver of the sound have roles to play. Both the source of the sound and the receiver or the receivers of the sound have roles to play. 1 Corinthians 14:9. So likewise, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you'll be speaking into the air. What jumps out from this verse is that the common interest and the common focus, listen, of both the source and the receiver is they want to understand and be understood. Do you see that? The common interest of the source and the receiver is this: the source wants you to understand, and the receiver wants to understand as well. The source wants to be understood. I speak words easy to understand. How will it be known? I want to know what is spoken. But if you don't know the roles you have to play, listen, and you don't understand the roles of the source being played, you'll miss it as much as you desire. You may be in church desiring to know, but if you don't know what's going on, you won't get your desires fulfilled, and it won't be anybody's fault. So let's look at now quickly the roles of the source and of the receiver to each. The role of the source. The source has a role to target the sound. The source has a role to target the sound. That's why the Bible says you're not speaking into the air. The sound is targeted. So if the choir master or the choir director wants to sing a particular song, he puts people out. If there's something at a particular point he wants us to hear, more alto, for example, he will ask the soprano to be quiet. You know that thing they do? What's he doing? He's targeting. Soprano, when you sing. Soprano will sing, alto, keep quiet. It's because he did that and alto hopefully listened to him and kept quiet. Some are so eager, they don't follow the choir master. But they followed him, he kept quiet. Soprano is singing, you are hearing. He's targeting so you can hear. You know, when you read the scriptures and sounds are coming out from the word of God, you must read them in context. God doesn't throw any word out to enter the air. Anyone went on catch and just catch if you like. Mm-mm. Every word from God is targeted. Every word is targeted. When you hear believers singing, cast me not away from your presence, so Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Tears are rolling. Anointing is moving. Is it in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Who is it targeted at? Are you David? Was David a saint in your dispensation? Are you not the one that he told that will never leave you nor forsake you? Put that song in the archives. Are you hearing me? I know this church does not sing it. You cannot sing it. If you used to sing it, delete. Cast you away from where? Where did he go? By singing that song, Lord Jesus, you are a liar. That's what you are singing. Because he told you he will never leave you nor forsake you. He told you he will send his spirit to be with you always. You missed the target of that verse. So every time you read the scripture, that's just an example. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his aid to Jehovah Jireh. Then the offering bucket is passing. Just at the time it passed, your dance went like this.
Has it passed?
Jehovah Jireh. Then you go home. You can't pay your rent. You say, but I thank my God shall supply all my need. Excuse you. Read up. No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only, as a result of your overgiving, as a result of your generosity, my God shall supply all your need. If you are not a giver, shut up. Stop singing that song. Because you are going to be frustrated. It becomes religion. Your God shall supply. When last did you sow a seed into your pastor's life? She cover up. You can't give. Tithe itself is a problem. But you are singing and dancing and sweating, my God shall supply. It's not how you sing the praise and worship. Is it your life? The role of the source is to target the sound. Read the scripture in context. Check. Now me. If not be me, and I waiting I like, waiting I supposed to make it be me. This is the confidence we have in him. You be saying all those things. You must know that you're a child of God. If you're an unbeliever, you ain't got no confidence. You throw your dice like sticky. But we throw our dice, we know that when we pray, he hears us and he answers us. That's just examples of how God targets his son. That's why apocalypse is very important. Epinosis is very important. You must get revelation from the scriptures. And it takes work. It takes study. It takes laboring to show yourself approved unto God. You must take the time. Otherwise, if you're there quoting things, religion, you say you left in Orthodox churches, you came back and you created a temple in the body of Christ. It's not meant to be. Amen.
Amen.
I think you still love me. That's why for a minister, let me just say this for any ministers who are watching. One of the greatest burdens for a minister, knowing that God targets his sounds and want to be like God, is not just to preach a good message. It is to preach the message. It's not just to preach a good message. If there's anything I learned being taught ministry by the only person that taught me. It's not, message. Messages to preach beaucoup de la ville. Plenty messages. But the labor before every conference like this, the labor before every Sunday service is, Lord, what is the message that you have targeted for this specific congregation at this time? That is where the dance with the Holy Spirit comes in. Anybody can open Bible and bring verse and cut and paste. You can go to TBN, you can go to Faith, you can go on YouTube, message programmed. You can cut and paste, palm, nobody will know. But is that the message? The purpose of God is fulfilled in the relevance of his word. And that's where you need to know his voice. And these are deep things, but that's how you get the depth of God. Glory be to God. Second role of the source. The source also has a role to make the sound he wants you to hear clear. He targets the sound, but he wants it to be clear. That word sound is a Greek word, believe it or not, phone. Phone. It's spelled phone, but pronounced phone. P-H-O-N-E. I choose to call it phone. Phone means through the idea of disclosure, an address for any purpose, a sound, and so on and so forth. Listen. What's more important is that word. Linking back comes from the base of a word, phos. And if you know a bit of the Bible, you read your Strong's a bit. Phos, P-H-O-S, is a word that means light. We're talking about sound. Somehow we've translated into light. What you hear affecting what you see. Phone comes from phos, light. And light means to shine. Phos means to shine, to make manifest, to make clear. So when God sends these sounds, he sends them to throw light on every dark situation in your life. His role is to make his sounds clear for you. And the way it comes out, what you hear translates into what you can see. I'll say it again. What you hear translates into what you can see. So every area of your life today where there is darkness, every area of your life you brought in darkness into these meetings at Wagbeck, the sounds coming from the throne of God, the speaking of God to you, is bringing light into that situation. It is God's role, because remember, his interest is for you to understand him. That's what he wants. So there's no mystery and ambiguity when God speaks. I'll get to that very soon. Read the scripture with me now. John 1:5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light, phos, shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So there is serious darkness. Darkness that is scaring everybody. Darkness of sin. Darkness of fear. Darkness of ignorance. Nobody wants to approach it. As the word is going, God is breaking addictions in this place. Addictions are being broken. Light is coming in. I'd heard in my spirit earlier, pornography. But it's beyond that. Some of us are just trapped in addictions. Darkness that nobody can dare to approach. Well, light is so beautiful. When light approaches darkness, light is not intimidated. Light does not fight darkness. 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 Light just shines. Light is not intimidated by darkness. Light is not scared of darkness. Light just shines. There are ministries that are based on fighting darkness. Oh, Mashiach. There's no light in those places. Why do you want to be fighting darkness? Just step in and shine. When you step in and shine, darkness, hey, please. It says darkness cannot comprehend it. That word comprehend means cannot possess it. Cannot seize it. So darkness is there reigning, ruling. Light comes. You think that can say, light, who are you? I'm going to catch you. You want to drive me? Darkness cannot seize it. Darkness cannot hold it. Darkness cannot understand it. The only thing that can cause darkness to go away is light. And light knows it. Light comes when you hear life-giving sounds. When you receive revelation, when you stick to doctrine and understand it, when you respect prophecy and prophesy along with the prophets, you are bringing light into every dark situation. God wants to make himself known to you. Can we just kill this image of a God who wants to be mysterious? Can we just stop it in the body of Christ? Can ministers just stop it? Any good parent wants to be understood by their child. I raised my children never speaking baby talk. I never spoke to my children. The way your child grows up and we didn't go, you start praying. From when they were in the womb to when they were born, I spoke to them. I had conversations with them. I would speak for myself and I would answer for them. Do you want to eat? Yes, mommy, I want to eat. Why? I wanted to be understood. I wanted to have communication with my children. So I spoke to them like they understood me. God wants to be heard. He wants to be clear to you. He wants you to know Him. But we want to present this picture of a mysterious God. There are mysteries. Only those of us at the pulpit can understand the mystery of prayer. 7 points. The mystery of giving. The mystery of marriage. There's no mystery again. I said there's no mystery. I said church, there's no mystery. Run from any mysterious pastor. That wants to feed his inferiority by making you think he has all the mysteries. I collected the mysteries at the throne of God. That throne, I didn't go that throne. If mystery didn't to collect, which I did go? No, it's reserved for those of us of the clergy. Now who talk? It's reserved for those of the blood. I told you last time I was here, my business is to cut the cord. Cut the umbilical cord. Raise it to a point and cut the cord. I don't need to have, it's abnormal. Imagine say a woman don't bump again. The cord is still there. Yeah, they come. I'm carrying you with my cord. That cord at some point will rot and the child will die. When you give birth, you cut the cord. Then you teach the child to be raised without the cord. Turn to your neighbor, say, there's no mystery. Say, Pastor, show me scripture. I'll show you. Colossians 1, 25. God is not hiding things from you. If in the Old Testament, he said he would tell Abraham what he's going to do, how much more you? What mystery? Colossians 1, 25. Of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery, see now, it's a mystery. The word of God. Which has been hidden from ages and from generations. But, remember my three-letter word, B-U-T, but? Betty, now. But now. Are we in now? Are we the saints? It has been revealed to the saints. To them, God willed, it's what he wanted, to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. He wants you to know. He willed it. That's why there are local churches like this. He wants you to know. In the Old Testament, the word mystery gives the impression on the old dispensation of something covered, like in a cult. But in this dispensation, mystery is revelations revealed. It's revealed. He wants you to know. 1 Corinthians 2, you see the same thing there. we speak the wisdom of God, verse 7, in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. But listen. He ordained them before. The purpose was for our glory. It was hidden for us. He kept it for us. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Again, but God, somebody say, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Church, the Spirit has revealed everything. The role of the source is to make the sound clear. Apart from targeting the sounds, he makes the sound clear. In this dispensation, deep things are being revealed to God's people. And God is excited. It's what he's always wanted. Deep, calling out to deep. He wants to speak and you hear him. He wants to say, let's dance this way. And you dance with him. In sync. That's what he wants. He doesn't want a fumbling church, fumbling in darkness, looking up to somebody to translate his voice for them. The Orthodox churches, I believe the Roman Catholic Church then, only the priest who hold the Bible at that time and be translating to you. No, everybody here has a Bible. Why do you have a Bible? Is it a sign of I'm a Christian, I carry a Bible? No. You see, this thing I'm saying, one of the major implications, listen well, of this, and I'm about to put some bullet out of business. Nobody needs to hear for you. No, you didn't hear me. Nobody needs to hear for you. Nobody needs to hear for you. Sometimes I go to some places to preach. When I finish preaching, somebody will come and kneel down beside me. Man of God. A word. What is the Lord saying? I just finished pouring myself out for 1 hour. I'm sitting down about to get some rest. I guess I'm in the spirit all the time. A word. Those things don't put me under pressure. See the word I will give you? You are blessed. Carry that one and be going. What word? You want to tell me to a native doctor? That's what causes the problem. Yes, then I start manufacturing things. Actually, the Lord is saying, and I check. Can I see his wife around your wife? Are there any children? No. Those children you are believing for, I begin to manufacture things. Why? Because in your mind, this man of God who just preached down, there's something upon her. She needs to give me a word. There's no mystery. Nobody needs to hear for you. What can they go to throw in yourself? The word you are looking for is available. The only person that needs to hear for you is the Holy Spirit. And he hears right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God has revelations piled up for you. But we're not listening. We don't trust him. We come for someone to speak to us. There's a place for the fivefold ministry. I'll put myself out of ministry if I say there isn't. So there is. But that's not the only way God speaks to his church. Our job is to mature the saints. If you're under any of the fivefold ministry gifts for a period of time and you're not maturing, something is wrong. Either with that gift or with you. Our job is not to keep you there and be be validating our ministry by you constantly being there like a mumu. No, our job is to mature you. So at some point, you don't need me. I can count on you to raise somebody else. That is discipleship. Then that is when I pass the exam in my job. I can't keep you as a neophyte all your work, all the time you are in church, and you say you are under the gift. That gift, something is fundamentally wrong. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. God has made up his mind that he's going to be a good PA system to his church. You know when PA don't work, I think I'm annoying you. When sound is not clear, it can be very challenging. Because you have a message you want to preach. Then you come out to preach, you hear, behold you, anointing. Don't leave me, please. Let these PA people get their act together. Then you hold your anointing. Is the mic working now? Yes. Okay. Hello. You start, enter, go. It disturbs. God is not that kind of PA system. His PA works. His public address system is clear. He targets his sounds and he makes them clear to you. That's his role. What is your role? Your role, number one, is to make the pathway free of obstruction. Look around this hall. Why are most halls like this? Why don't we build hall and put walls? Put walls, real wall. Put television in each room, compartment. And I will stand and be talking to the wall. Most churches want to be built open plan. Not just for visibility, also for sound. Why are there rugs here? Go to a church where they use tile. Glory be to somebody. Tiles. Some people put ceramic tiles everywhere. When you enter, put on the mic, the sound will bounce here. To bounce here. Just be bouncing everywhere. There'll be confusion in the hall. Why? The wrong materials obstructing the sound. Your job is to keep the pathway free of obstruction. Your job is to make sure you're not like this. To take the veil off. Your job is to come into church without prejudices. Your job, your role, is to come in forgetting what you've always believed. All those veils, all those fears. I'm coming to church. If anybody preaches about giving, they won't get me. They cannot get me. My rent, my children's school fees. Once I have a covenant, once that message starts, I will just switch off. Switch off, what are you doing? Your role is to keep the pathway free of obstruction. Fresh D is 25 years old this year. In the early years of Fresh D, I would get letters. Woman of God, thank you for the message you preached on so and so and so date on television. We watched it. In fact, my wife who was got healed. She's pregnant now. The only problem I have, woman of God, is why were you wearing trousers? I have those letters. I watched you the other time and your hair was not covered. In the 90s and early 2000s, things that we used to see. The lipstick you had on was rather a bit too red. Turn to your neighbor, say obstruction. But you are testifying that this Jezebel in her jeans and red lipstick preached and your wife got pregnant. But there's a problem. There's a veil, there's a mindset that is blocking you. Blocking you. For some people, I'm a woman. I'm a pastor. So the way they can receive me well, my husband has to be a pastor. If not, so even like I would tell you, no, he's a pastor. I've been wondering, why are you trying to force this man to be a pastor? I now understood that it's to enable them to receive me. They can receive me better if I'm under my husband who is a pastor. It's like ladies in the corporate field who are executives and they are single. You almost looked at like you're a whore. Is that not true? You are 40-something years old, you are single, you're an executive in your own right, but they treat you like you're a whore. But if you have a missus on your name, then it validates you. We face the same thing in ministry. The few of us who are female pastors without husbands who are ministers, to be validated, they get to be a man over you. Whether the man get called or no get called, no be problem. Then go call him. Then go call him, make him cover you. Somebody asked me recently, what's one of the toughest things you faced in ministry as a woman? You know my answer? Male chauvinism. Till today, among male ministers. So some God will send them to come and listen for me. How go meet that woman? No, you pastor wife. She no get husband with you, pastor. I'd rather die and miss my church than go and meet her. Stay there. Veil. God is sending sounds. What veils are you listening? Are you putting in front of you? What's the obstruction? What have you predetermined about the vessels that God is using to speak to you? These are real truths, practical things that are killing us. Somebody say hallelujah. Just like last year, I obviously won't finish my message today, but it's okay. Let me give you a few more points. I have a few more minutes. So I've given you the role of the source. I've given you one role of the second role of the receiver. The receiver has a role to tune in to the frequency of the expected sound. Tune into the frequency of the expected sound. Do you know the human frequency has a range of about 20 to 20,000 hertz? Listen. 20 to 20,000, human. And for a dog, it's 40 to 60,000 average. 20 to 20,000 for a human being. 40 to 60,000 for a dog. If you want to target a sound to a dog, and you don't want a human being to hear, you will send like 30,000. Correct? Am I right? Yes, to a dog. You will send 30. Because a human being is 20 to 20,000. So you put at 30,000. Right? If you want to target a human being, you don't want a dog to hear, you will send 30 hertz. My point is that there is a range. So your role is to put yourself in the right frequency range. In the scriptures, a dog is symbolic of an unbeliever. In the scriptures, a carnal Christian today resemble unbeliever. There is a way you can refuse to renew your mind with the word of God. You are so carnal that we can't differentiate you from an unbeliever. Your best friends are dogs. You are dating a dog. If you are here and you are going out with an unbeliever, by the way, you are dating a dog. Can I have a male choir member, please? Come, quickly, quickly, quickly. Every movement, my time is going. Be my dog. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, now, doggy. Go down the front. Yeah. Doggy. Say like that. So I am a sister. Rebo shaka talo brokera muskaya. Nakupa shikala bedekeya. Jesus. You leave church. Okay, darling, bye, bye. Then you now go home. Okay, come, baby, let's go out. No, you're a dog. That's you. I said, that's you. By the way, this dog may work in the bank. He may work in Chevron. What do you think will happen after a while? When you communicate with a dog, you begin to hear like a dog. Your frequency range enters dog frequency range. Then when God is speaking, you are not hearing. Your carnality has placed you in the wrong frequency range. You're a human being now, stand up. You will miss. This is one thing, Pastor, I've not understood. Church is 32 years old. I still find people who try to justify going out with unbelievers. And I've preached Greek. I've preached Hebrew. Maybe I should preach in tongues. I don't get it. I don't get it. He's a dog. And all the prophecy, do you know the prophecy for your husband could have flown past you? You were in the wrong frequency range. Your ears are now trained like a dog. That very thing you are looking for, what you are doing is driving you further away from it. That's your role. Clear the obstructions, whatever they are. Put yourself in the right frequency range. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Write this down. And that's the last point. H. The sounds, all these sounds, they are sent for you not just to hear, understand, but also for you to act on them. Verse 8 says, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Who will prepare for battle? When you get home, read Numbers 10, 1 to 8. Every single sound God sends, listen, every single sound God sends to you, every sound God is sending to every minister in this conference has one purpose. At the end of it all, listen very well. It's not just for you to hear, identify, understand, but it's to prompt you to action. You are going to get promptings from the Holy Spirit that will tell you what you need to do when you receive those sounds. Every sound eventually is to prompt you into action. So when you sit down and you listen, ask yourself, what would you have me do next, Lord? That is the purpose of every sound that comes your way. Lift your hands and give God praise. Give Him 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 praise, please. Thank Him for the life-giving sounds. Thank Him for prophetia. Thank Him for apocalypsis. Thank Him for gnosis and epinosis. Thank Him for didache. Thank Him for all the sounds that have been flowing from this pulpit. They are targeted. You will hear the sound for you. You'll be prompted into action. You will know just what to do. Glory be to God. Lift your hands to Him. Lift your hands to Him. Just worship Him. Lift your hands to Him. What a loving God. Constantly speaking to His people. And we're hearing, constantly speaking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Rejoice, take joy.